And this has been an emotional morning for me. The prayer service that we had, and we had a prayer service. These brethren opened up their mind and their hearts and poured it out to our Lord and Savior on our behalf. And we, together with them, were praying too. And I know we were, because I know you all pretty good. And I know that you do. It's a fearful thing to try to stand and speak to the Lord's people. And it's fallen my lot today. And I want to read that song we just sang. Simple song. We sing it a lot. But it says, Lord, we're addressing our Savior. Lord, in thy presence here we meet. May we in thee be found. Is that our prayer this morning, that we be found in the presence of the Lord? Would it be a sorrowful thing if we didn't feel the presence of the Lord this morning? I've already felt his presence, and I hope you have too. Oh, make this place divinely sweet, and let thy grace abound. Is this place sweet to you? You know, there's no place I'd ever be than in the worship of our Savior with you, brethren and sisters. This is our church. We could be out in the yard if we had to be out there, but we'd still be the church, and we could still sing praises and worship his grand and holy name. How good, how sweet, how pleasant 'tis when brethren all agree. Is that not a blessing? When we come together and we can do things together and we all agree in one, what are we agreeing on this morning? That we want to sing praises. We want to worship our Heavenly Father. We want to praise Jesus. We want to thank him for his grace and for his love and for what he had done for us. May Zion's good be kept in view and bless our feeble aim. Zion is the church body, is the people of the Lord. May that good of that be kept in view and bless our feeble aim, that all we undertake to do may glorify his name. That's a tall order right there. That all we undertake to do may glorify his name. Do you ever think about that? Everything that you do, everything you undertake to do as you're going about in this old world, working among your work fellows and around your family and everything, do you think, may, Lord, whatever I do, may this glorify your name? Or do you think some, no, you know, I might have done something today that was not glorifying to my Lord. You ever think that? Why did I get involved in that conversation with those people? You know, you don't have to participate sometimes. Well, I got string all over them. That must be a brand new handkerchief. Sorry about that. I've mentioned before, there's a gang of guys that eat breakfast at the Big Spring Mall, a little place called Evita's. They make a real good breakfast. And we meet there and eat breakfast. And some of them are pretty good folks, and some of them are pretty crass. And there's one old cowboy, wears his hat, you know, and he can get pretty rude, pretty crude. And if anybody crosses him, he gets mad. And he gets to the point where he's cursing and he's taking the Lord's name in vain. And I took all I could take one day. And I said, you know, that's enough. If you're going to talk that way, I'm not going to sit at this table. And he supposedly is a grand poo-poo elder in the particular church that he attends. I said, if that's the way your elders and deacons speak at your church, I don't want to be a part of it. I'm going to my store and going to work. And, you know, half the table got up and left too. You know, people don't want to hear that. People don't want to be subjected to that. And just speaking up a little bit is sometimes good. Okay, where am I this morning? I've been reading and studying this week. Almost down to the point of crying because I don't feel like the Lord's really given me anything. But I'm going to give to you what I feel like He's given to me. I want to read a little bit of the 138th Psalm. In fact, I've got several different places I want to go. Because as I was trying to settle on a subject matter, the beginning of the 138th Psalm kind of explains the way I feel and what we're doing here today. So I want to read this, and then I'm going to go to several other places, and hopefully the Lord, the Holy Spirit, will make sense out of it. So continue to pray. Did I mention that? We're to pray continually. 138th Psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. He didn't say I might. Maybe if I don't have a TV show to watch. Maybe if I don't have some entertaining thing. No, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. When you praise the Lord, do you do it with your whole heart? Do you sing praises unto Him? Yes, you do. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified the word above all thy name. In the days when I cried, thou answered me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. You know, when we cry out to the Lord, He doesn't always seem to answer us at that moment. But you know what? He does. He answers us. And it may be a week or two, or it might be 6 months that you realized that you got the answer you were asking for. You just didn't have ears to hear it, or you just didn't understand. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear thy words, the words of thy mouth. All the kings of the earth shall praise him when they hear the words of his mouth. When they hear the words of Christ, all the kings of the world are going to stop and take notice. And they will praise him. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the God. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Do you believe that the Lord walks with you when you're in the midst of trouble? When we feel persecuted and you're down and you don't think anything is going right, do you know the Lord is there with you, right by your side, and you can reach out and He will answer you? He will touch you. He will soften your heart. He will help the situation that you're in. Okay, let's go over here. I'm sorry if we're going to skip around a little bit. In Jeremiah, I just want to read in the 31st verse about the new covenant that the Lord has given to His people. In the 33rd verse of the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." That's amazing. I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Lord has put His laws in your inward parts. He's written in your heart. He's our God and we are his people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Amen? He's saying, I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive their iniquity. Do you feel your iniquity is forgiven? Huh? It is. And he's going to remember your sins no more. Is that not a beautiful thing? Okay, as I'm hopping around, here we go. Now we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. The fourth chapter. Now, Primitive Baptists love the book of Ephesians because it lays it out pretty plain. Over in the first chapter, we're not going to read all of this, but let's just remember what happens over here in the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Semicolon. Now, I'm going to back up there. I'm so glad that that word hath is in there. If that word hath was will, that would change the whole thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bless us as long as we do certain things. No, he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Can you imagine that? If I think about my sins and what way I've lived my life, and I read that I'm going to be holy and without blame before him in love, I just break down and cry sometimes. How in the world could he forgive me, this nasty old fleshly devil that I have been and still am? I can't even come to church without making a bunch of jokes. I'm sorry, but the flesh is in us. And without blame before him in love. We should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Period. That's the end of that statement. He hath made us accepted in the beloved. To me, that's amazing that he's had that much love for a people. Now, is it a small group of people? Well, we may be a small group of people here this morning, but his people is a gargantuous, is that a word? Is a lot of people. It's a number no man can count. He told Abraham that his people, his seed would be like the stars in the sky. I mean, that's hard to count the stars in the sky. But if you were able to do that, well, guess what? Now you got to go count the sands on the seashore, the sand on the sea. And if you go to all the nice beaches and you count all the sand on the beaches and around the earth, well, guess what? There's sand underneath the water down in the depths. It's a job no man can do. And that's the point he's making here. I don't know how many of people he has, but I know it's a number that's just beyond measure, beyond our thinking. And aren't you glad that you're one of those that's in that number? How do you know that? Well, you feel it because he's placed his love in your heart. He's put it there. He's wrote his laws back in Jeremiah. He wrote his laws on your heart. So let's go over here to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And we're going to do a little reading here because I enjoy the fourth chapter. Sometimes it doesn't get as much attention as the first, second, third chapter. Fourth chapter of Ephesians. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He wrote this book of Ephesians. And he's writing it to the church at Ephesus. Let's see exactly how that was said. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, was this just written to the saints at Ephesus? No, he said, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He didn't want to limit it just to that church of Ephesus, and I think we're kind of included in that number there. Are you faithful in Christ Jesus? Sure you are. You're faithful to show up here, 411 Shandon Avenue, and meet with the church of God and worship and sing praises. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're admonished to love one another and to forgive one another and forbear one another. How do you forbear someone? Well, he may think he's funny and you still laugh at him without, you know, you forbear me because I sometimes act like an idiot, and I appreciate the forbearance of my brothers and sisters. And I shouldn't do that because I know I shouldn't do that because all the way home to Big Spring, Brenda tells me I shouldn't have done that. No, she doesn't. I'm sorry. She's going to say I shouldn't have said that. So, all right, I lost my place. There's endeavoring to keep the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Our God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now I'm glad they put this little ninth verse and tenth verse. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We know he ascended on the high, but he also descended into the belly of the earth. What happened? He was crucified. Why was he crucified? Because he took on our sins. And he died on the cross, and he was buried in that tomb. And if that had been the end of it, you know, some of the apostles that were there, they just kind of went away shaking their heads. Oh, my goodness, now what are we going to do? But he arose on the third day. He that ascended is on the right hand of our Heavenly Father. He took on him the iniquity of us all. What's iniquity? Our badness, our sin. And he gave gifts to the church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait and deceive. A lot of semicolons here. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Period. Paul had a long thought there. Christ died and paid for our sins for our edification, and that we may be a whole body fitly joined together, working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We as a body, we love one another. And if part of the body gets hurt or something goes wrong, we all suffer with them. That's why we make our prayer request. We want to know who's hurting, who's suffering. Putting on the new man, 17th verse. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Ye, this church of Ephesus, and the people, and the faithful in Christ Jesus. But ye have not so learned Christ. So learned Christ by acting like the way of all these Gentiles that he was just talking about, what they were doing. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through their ignorance and blindness. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by Christ as the truth is in Jesus. That's that writing in your heart, as we said back in Jeremiah. The laws have been written in our hearts. If so be that you have heard him, heard Christ, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus Christ himself is going to teach you what he wants you to know, how to be, how to behave, how to respect each other, how to love one another. Christ does that to you. I can't explain how that happens, but I've tried to imagine sometimes, how does the Spirit of God put within me goodness? There's times that I might be interacting with somebody and I may interact in a certain way that is really kind. And I have compassion on their situation. And I'm given love in my heart. And I express my love to this certain individual. And after it's happened, sometimes I think, where did all that come from? Why did I feel that way? Why did I act that way towards that person? Well, it's the love of God that's been put in us. It's that his law that has been written in our hearts. We haven't learned Christ the way that the Gentiles have. Now, we're Gentiles, but there's Gentiles out there that are not under the guidance of the Heavenly Father. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Have you ever gone through that? I've got to quit acting these ways, doing these things that I'm doing. I've got to put that off. put off concerning the old conversation of your mind. We don't have enough time for me to tell you all the times this has happened to me. And I could give you word after word and event after event of things that made me shameful, that I was sorrowful for, that I, this verse, what this verse is talking about, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Are any of us guilty of that? Do you get mad and you go to bed and you go to bed mad? What does that do for you? You toss and turn all night long? Neither give place to the devil. Well, that's funny that that's right after the being angry and sin not, giving place to the devil. That's what you're doing when you're angry, you get mad, and you go to bed and you're mad. You're giving place to the devil. The devil has the opportunity now to kind of inch in there and egg you on and say, yeah, you're right. You shouldn't let them talk to you like that. You need to be angrier. Get angrier. Don't let them treat you that way. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to them that needeth. Now this next one is a hard one. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Have you ever spewed off at the mouth, said something, but you wish you could have brought it back in? It wasn't edifying to who you were talking to. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I hope I don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but I grieve myself when sometimes I think, you know, I probably have grieved the Holy Spirit. He's probably sorry that I was included in that number before the foundation of the world. I'm not being a good steward. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Boy, that's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. We got a lot of work to do. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then here's what we should do. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. That's our job as we sojourn on this earth. Be kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's go on to the fifth chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He goes on, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. Put all these things away from you. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Children of disobedience. Have you ever been one of those? A child of disobedience? I have. Not only to my heavenly father, but to my earthly father. I was a child of disobedience. And guess what happened? I got corrected for it. Sometimes I got corrected with a paddle. Or lost my privileges. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, the children of disobedience. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were sometimes darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. How do you do that? Just walk in a way circumspectly, the way respectful, loving one another, charitable, doing things for your family and your friends, smile on your face, praying continually. We got a big job. And why do we have these things? Because Christ died for us. He bore our sins. Now, do we have to do these things in order to be included in that number? That's right, Brother John. John's shaking his head, no. These are the things we do because we are. We are included in that number. Elder Sonny Piles was asked one day. There was a radio interview. And the guy interviewing him said, "We're going to take this last 45 seconds, Elder Piles, and we want you to answer one question for us. What's the main difference between Primitive Baptist and everybody else?" Now, the guy asked him that question and gave him 45 seconds. And I don't know if I can quote it exactly, but he says, "Well, most everybody believes that repentance and faith and following after the Lord and baptism and belief, they believe that's things that you've got to do in order to obtain eternal life. We as Primitive Baptists believe you do those things because you have eternal life. It was given to you. We don't have to earn our position because the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross for his people. And I'm glad I feel like we're part of that. And we are to walk this way." And Brother Pyle said, "And I shut my mouth." He said, "It didn't take me 45 seconds. It took 10 seconds, you know." And I gave it back to him. And he said, and this was like 40 years ago. He says, "And I've thought about this, and I've thought about it today. If I was asked that same question, I would answer it the same way." You know, it's the same way. We are not doing things so that we may earn our place in heaven. We're doing these things because we know that the Lord has done these things for us. You know, it's funny how you, there's things that you know and things that that the Lord puts into your heart and you feel it. And that Holy Spirit, I don't know exactly when the Holy Spirit came into my heart, but I know he did, because it lit my understanding. I understand these things. I'm not confused by these things. And I'm thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm hopeful that he'll come back this afternoon, that the trump will sound, and we'll all meet him in the air. That one song we sang, it talked about him coming down and us having some fun here on earth. We're not going to be here on earth. We're going to meet him in the air, and so we shall ever be with our Savior in the air. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm sorry for my weakness and my fumbling around, but I thank you all, because I could feel that y'all had all continued to pray. Does anyone have a selection that we might sing?